Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Scott Kaplan on CBS Sports Radio.
What is going on, clones? Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome. Jim gets a lot of vacation. He takes a lot of vacation. He does his thing. He visits his family. I can feel you, Romy. I'm doing the same thing right now, man. It seems like every other weekend I'm out for a parents' weekend up at Boise State. I got to go see a kid play a college football game in West Virginia. I got to go try and check out a daughter down at Tulane, all the while taking care of one here at home. So I can totally feel you. Happy to be here. And clones, let me tell you something. I will make time for certain to open the phones and get to you. In the meantime, I already see what you guys are doing to me on Twitter, on my timeline, at Scott Kaplan. And yes, I probably am from Whoville, because you're like, who the hell is he? He must be from Whoville. Hey, we're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. When you need cash out of your home, simple way to get it, Rocket can. Shout outs to all of my great friends in San Diego who listen on Jim's Southern California home base, the Mightier 1090. Shout out to all of you guys. And shout out to my circle of trust, all my people in Los Angeles that listen to the Sedano and Cap Show every day on 710. So shout out to all my Southern California listeners, San Diego, Orange County, LA, the Central Coast. Glad to have all you guys here and clones worldwide listening on radio and watching on TV. By the way, as we get ready to talk some baseball with Casey Stern, who's going to be here in just a matter of seconds, I'm loving getting all the tweets from people who are watching the show, not just listening, but watching around the world. I just saw a buddy of mine, a guy by the name of Blake Harris, who covers the Dodgers, who says he's at a casino. By the way, what time is it? What are you doing at a casino in the middle of the day on a Thursday afternoon? He's at a casino in Prim, Nevada, and he's watching the show from the sports book. So shout out to you, Blake, and shout out to sportsbooks who at this time of the day don't have games to show, so they've got the Rome Show on CBS Sports Network. All right, guys, let me know when Casey's ready to go, and we'll start turning our attentions towards baseball, because the story of the day nationally from a football standpoint is, let's kick off week four between Cincinnati and Miami. If you're just getting with us, you may have just missed that Jim Nance was here, and Jim Nance was talking to us about the game between New England and Green Bay, a game that he's calling. He talked to us about the Cincinnati Bengals, who are playing tonight, who we saw a couple weeks ago play against Dallas. He's talked to us about a variety of the games that he's already seen, the Kansas City Chiefs, who we saw last week play against the Indianapolis Colts. How the hell am I remembering all this? I'll tell you how. I slept like a monster last night, even though I talked early in the show about these crazy-ass dreams that I was having, about Bob Dylan being in Jim Rome's house and me being in the bathroom needing to shower and Jim's cat making a mess through the litter box. You can do your own dream analysis on all of that, but telling you right now, feeling really clear-minded today here hosting the Jim Rome Show. All right, my baseball analyst, Casey Stern, is here. If you are a baseball fan, you must listen to the Casey Stern podcast. It's called Unfiltered, and here he is back on the Jim Rome Show. Casey Stern is here. Hey, Case, how are you today, man?
Scotty, what's going on, man? How you doing, okay?
I'm doing really good. It's funny because last night I was really dragging, and I was trying to get to sleep early, but I was following on your Twitter timeline, and I believe you went into an emergency podcast mode last night, and I was like, oh, man, if he's up doing, like, game analysis now, I better stay up to watch this Dodgers-Padres game, which I made almost till the very end. Casey, I want to throw a whole bunch of stuff your way, and I want you to comment if you could. You ready to go?
Sure, let's go.
All right, let me start off with the teams that I follow, the Dodgers and the Padres. Two nights ago, the Dodgers, Craig Kimbrell, walk for the Padres. Start me off with this. Is Craig Kimbrell the best option the Dodgers have at closer? I think there's an argument to be made. He may not even be on the postseason roster.
Well, look, the sad part is I can't remember, and you could go in the Wayback Machine, the last time where you've had this whole closer by committee. Even though saves have changed, the way we look at the stat is different than we used to. Now you can use high leverage situations and obviously match up more than we used to in the past with analytics. I remember a situation covering years ago where Tony La Russa had put Jason Mott kind of into that role before a postseason run and not ever really officially named he was the closer. But other than that, I can't even think of one where you've got a closer by committee and you have any level of success. The Dodgers have a big problem with all the injuries that they have and not having, you know, the names like Trinan in the bullpen and having, you know, to use, you know, May and guys in different spots, and now he's hurt again. They have really not had a lot of places to go to. They've had some good success overall in that bullpen, but when it comes down to it and you need big outs, they don't have the Edwin Diaz in the back end like the Mets do, and I think it's a big cause for concern. I think he'll be on the roster, but Craig Kimbrell's never been a good postseason pitcher, even when he's had great years. How the heck is he going to pitch in the postseason when he's having a year where you can't trust him in the middle of the season? Not a guy I'm wanting to hand the ball to in a ninth inning come October. And I don't think Dave Roberts in that spot either.
Yeah, and I think two nights ago when he walked in the run, bases were loaded, and he walks in the winning run for the Padres, he had this body language and this look like, just please, somebody put me out of my misery and get me out of here. Let me talk to you about the other side of it, because the Padres won two nights ago with the walk-off walk that we're talking about. And then last night, the Dodgers come back in a 0-0 ball game and wind up winning the game in the 10th inning. Tell me this. Do the Padres, in your opinion, pose any threat? And I don't just mean to the Dodgers, but given all of the noise they made in the middle of the season, do they pose any postseason threat from your opinion?
No. To me, not really. I think clearly the have and the have-nots world is more of an NBA thing than a baseball thing. 2010, Phillies is big favorites for anybody who remembers, as really there ever was. I mean, you could argue it was a better team than the ones that they had when they were in the World Series and won it in 08, when they were in it and lost it to the Yankees in 09, and they get knocked off in the first round. The Dodgers in 2019, heavy favorites. The Nationals knocked them off on the road. So we see kind of an anything-can-happen scenario usually in baseball, but not this year. The Astros in the American League are clearly the cream of the crop. I think the Yankees could be dangerous, theoretically, and I think the Jays are. I think in the National League, the top three teams have been really bell-to-bell in whatever order, the Dodgers, the Braves, and the Mets. And while I think you always got to prepare for the Cardinals if they can pitch enough, which is a big question for me, because you do have guys like Arenado, Goldschmidt, two MVP candidates. You got the likes of Pujols in the run he's been on. And they're the Cardinals. They always seem to kind of do it when you don't expect it. I don't know how many postseasons I found myself sitting. I can't believe I'm sitting here freezing my ass up in St. Louis again. So they kind of seem to do that. But I don't think that the Cardinals, the Padres, the Phillies, if they're able to get in and they've been collapsing, or the Brewers, if they sneak in, have any chance to get in the way of the National League being about the Dodgers, the Braves, or the Mets. One of those three teams will represent the NL in the World Series.
All right, good. I'm glad you said that, because that's where I wanted to go next. We're talking to Casey Stern. You must listen to his podcast. It's called Unfiltered. It's part of the Believe Podcast Network. And if you are a baseball fan, this is the go-to guy. So, Casey, let me ask you this. Baseball, for me, I have to make this admission to you, is a very regionalized thing. I follow the Dodgers, the Padres, and early in the season, I followed the Angels until that all fell apart, and they really didn't have anything that told me that they were going to do anything this season. But I hear from all the national baseball writer types and the people that cover the game that the Braves and the Mets do pose a legitimate threat to the Dodgers. Again, when you follow your team and only your team, you kind of start to believe, hey, the Dodgers are easily going to win this World Series, or the Padres are going to make some noise. So you tell me. First of all, there's a huge series coming up this weekend between the Mets and the Braves that's going to decide the division. So start us with that. But then let's talk about these two teams. Again, for those of us particularly on the West Coast that don't really get to see them or don't really have a great appreciation for how good these teams are. Start us off with the Mets and the Braves this weekend.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, clearly right now the Mets have a one-game lead. You know, you're sitting there, and you're talking about a team that's won, you know, 98 games. I mean, you know, both these teams going to 100. I think the loser of this division, just so you know, is going to sit in a wild card spot, and that's not going to be fun. But I think these two teams are going to match up in the NLCS, and I think the Braves and the Mets, whoever has to play the Dodgers, is going to beat them. So not only do I think that they can match up, but I think they'll beat them. The Mets, you go back about 5-6 weeks ago, really the last time the Dodgers have played a meaningful game, because they've had this wrapped up so long, they had a series against the Mets, with everybody paying attention, two of the games on national TV, and the Mets took 2 out of 3. What the Mets and the Braves both offer that really pose big issues for the Dodgers is the depth of their starting pitching. The Dodgers have been able to somehow have an unbelievable amount of run differential of 300-plus with all their injuries. But the best pitchers always beat the best hitters in a postseason. It's just the way it is. And when you've got, even with the Strider injury right now with the Braves, the situation that they've got in their rotation with Max Fried is good. You know, look, he's one of the best lefties in the game. Kyle Wright, I know it's not all about wins, but he's deservedly so, a 20-game winner. And Charlie Morton, who's been a big-game guy really for the last 10 years, doesn't get enough credit for that. And you've got the Mets. You've got Jacob deGrom, who's clearly the best pitcher in the baseball. Max Scherzer, who would have something to say about that, who's sitting there with a 2-1 ERA. And Chris Bassitt, who's been as underrated as anybody. And don't forget the Mets on the back end, who's a difference maker, have the best closer in the sport, and Edwin Diaz, who's making people look silly at the plate. I think the Mets and the Braves and the depth of those two pitching staff, because of how important that becomes when you get to a postseason, I think either one, whoever plays the Dodgers in that set to get to an LCS, will play the other and beat L.A. I think it's going to be Braves and Mets in the LCS.
All right, Casey Stern is here. This is Scott Kaplan filling in for Jim Rome today on the CBS Sports Radio Network and also on the CBS Sports Network on television. Casey, let's move over to the American League side. Obviously, the big story today is what Aaron Judge did last night. Although I'm a little consumed with the guy wearing the Blue Jays uniform and the grown man with the baseball glove that's reaching over the rail that does not make the play, that can't catch that ball. But the big story, obviously, is the Yankees, Aaron Judge getting to 61. Will he get to 62? You've already said you think Houston is far and away the class of the American League. So do the Yankees then pose a real threat to the Astros the way you see it?
You know, I tend to think no, because really when you go back to depth of pitching and where that plays out, another issue the Yankees have, and let's be fair, in a lot of different spots, Yankee fans are the first to tell you Gerrit Cole has not been as good as he needs to be, especially for what he's getting paid. I think they're in a better spot now than they were 3-4 weeks ago, because there was a time period where Aaron Judge, who's been, you want to talk about valuable, and put that V in MVP, was not sitting there with a typical Yankee team, Scott, where you get like six guys that are great, three of them are future Hall of Famers. He had a Stanton who was back off injury, still hurt, popping up every time. Josh Donaldson, who's still the way he is defensively and is great, but not nearly the offensive player he used to be. And a lot of kind of nobody else. There was really no reason to pitch to Aaron Judge other than when he let off the game. Now that Anthony Rizzo is back healthy, Stanton's been around a little bit longer, hit that walk-off grand slam in that inning where Judge ended up getting his 60th. You've got some of these young kids like Cabrera have kind of stepped up. They're in a better spot, but I think when you look at the Astros, it really the biggest key people need to key in on and pay attention to is the difference in this sport in a 5- and a 7-game series. Go back to what I said about 2019. The Nationals play the Dodgers in that series in 7. The Nats aren't having bumpy roads to beautiful places. The Dodgers would have gotten to the World Series instead. The Giants wouldn't have beaten the Phillies in 7 in 2010. When you get into a spot of a 5-game series, especially when you're talking about momentum versus layoff, which is what we're going to be dealing with, especially with this extra playoff round, the Astros are much more susceptible to be knocked off in 5 than they would be in 7 games. And to me, if you're looking at Houston, you got to get them in 5. In 7, it's going to be difficult to knock them off. It's going to be difficult for the NL teams they face in a World Series to knock that team off in 7 games.
All right, Casey Stern is here. Case, last thing on the American League side of things. Houston's got 102 wins, so we look at them as the class. We're all paying attention to the Yankees because of Judge. I've got a whole bunch of Cleveland friends. Shout out to my friend Lindsay Baseball, who's been trying to sell me on the Cleveland Guardians because of the style of play. Does Cleveland, do they fit into this equation anywhere?
Their blueprint and their style of play are the Kansas City Royals, who went back-to-back into a World Series and without Madison Bumgarner and arguably as good a playoff performance from a pitcher as we've ever seen in a game in a World Series, they would have won 2. And that's because they found a way to make contact, to drive pitchers crazy, to rally without a home run. Cleveland, the best thing that got going for them is their belief, and a lot of that comes from their Hall of Fame manager in Terry Francona, who Tito's going to end up here someday. We're talking about one of the best to ever do it. He's always got that team ready. And his team in Cleveland, you go back to 2015 and 16, the runs that they made, they weren't expected to do much of anything either, and they did. I think Bieber's got to be great. You know, they've got a dude in Class A at the back end who's probably outside of Diaz, the best closer in the sport. I question for me whether or not their hitters can hit the best pitching. Jimenez is still a kid. Ahmed Rosario, some of these guys that they have, if they go up against the Gerrit Coles and the Verlanders and the Valdezes and some of these guys they face, are they going to be able to get big knocks? I don't think they're going to get enough of them to do some damage. I think the Jays are the team outside of Houston and outside of New York that everybody better pay attention to, because I would not be surprised if Toronto found their way to a league championship series. It wouldn't shock me at all.
All right, Casey Stern. You can follow him on Twitter at Casey Stern. That's C-A-S-E-Y, Casey Stern. And if you are a baseball fan, I think you just heard it. This guy, he is all over it. You should definitely check out his podcast called Unfiltered. Casey, great to talk to you, as Jim would say, phenomenal, outstanding.
That's a pretty good impression, too. Yeah, my pleasure, man. Anytime.
Appreciate you, Casey. There's Casey Stern stopping by. This is the Jim Rome Show. I'm Scott Kaplan sitting in for Jim today, both on the radio side and the TV side. Keep the tweets coming. My Twitter is at Scott Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N. Oh, this is awesome. You know, I've been mentioning two nights ago here in L.A., being over at the Kia Forum for the Taylor Hawkins tribute show, and Wolfgang Van Halen, Eddie Van Halen's son, comes out and plays Panama. Now, I've seen Van Halen with Wolfgang Van Halen playing bass. I did not know that he played the lead guitar this way. Tore it to shreds. Check my Twitter timeline. I put a ton of content from that concert out there. It was not live streamed. So if you want to see what happened that night, you should come to my timeline and check it out on Twitter. Stick around. We're going back to the NFL. Andrew Brandt from Sports Illustrated is stopping by. This is the Jim Rome Show. I'm Scott Kaplan. This is the CBS Sports Radio Network.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What's going on, clones? Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome. And Alvin DeLauro is crushing it today. Playing some Def Leppard. I was telling Alvy before the show, this concert, this Taylor Hawkins tribute concert, dude, they had Def Leppard perform this song, Photograph, with Miley Cyrus. Now, when are you ever going to see Def Leppard and Miley Cyrus perform at a concert together that also features Rush and Queen and Pink and Alanis Morissette and the Foo Fighters? I mean, dude, this was singularly the greatest rock show I've ever been to and probably ever will be to. So, all right, Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome. I said I wanted to turn my attentions back to the NFL. Andrew Brandt is here. He is an SI contributor. He is a former Green Bay Packers front office executive, and we welcome him back on the Jim Rome Show. Hey, Andrew, how are you, man?
I'm doing well. Always good to be with the show.
Yeah, glad to have you back. Bunch of stuff I want to get to. I'll jump right into it. I know that you recently wrote about Jalen Hurts being one of the most undervalued players in the NFL. What I love about the Jalen Hurts story is, to me, I love guys who prove to be great teammates. When you're at Alabama and you're already an established champion, All-American, you've got, you know, a resume, and then the coach benches you and you sit there, you don't run away. I mean, eventually he transfers, but to be a second-round pick, to be leading a team that's unbeaten, I'm almost praying for a Miami-Philadelphia Super Bowl. I would love to see these two guys go head-to-head. When you say he's one of the most undervalued players, Jalen Hurts, what do you mean?
Well, you have to go to the whole story, and the other central character in all of this is Carson Wentz. You know, there was no team more all-in on a player a couple years ago. No team more all-in than the Eagles on Carson Wentz. They had given up a couple number one picks, a couple number two picks. They had extended him at the highest number for a young quarterback. They had traded Nick Foles or let him go in free agency because they didn't want him over the shoulder. And they drafted Jalen Hurts because they couldn't have an expensive backup like Nick Foles. They got a cheap backup, a second round pick. So Hurts was never, ever meant to be playing right now. But here we are. You know, Carson Wentz took the most precipitous fall I've ever seen in my lifetime, from being an MVP player to being what appears to be one of the worst quarterbacks in football. And Hurts has this ascension. He's been a revelation. He's a great team player. He's got good strength, mobility. And he just seems to have a stoic nature that I'm just so impressed with. He never gets too high or too low. And the Eagles have weapons all around him. So the Eagles are well suited. Obviously, they're going to have to pay him next year. But the fact that they have a starting quarterback, MVP candidate, I know it's early, but playing for $1 million when usually MVP candidates make $35, $40 million. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it is a great story. We're talking to Andrew Brandt, contributor to Sports Illustrated, a former Green Bay Packer front office executive. And I also love the story. I love stories of underdog players who kind of prove it wrong to everybody. Just talking to Jim Nance not long ago, name dropping, but he was just on the show. And we were talking about Tua, and that's it's sort of the same way I feel about Tua. Yes, he replaced Hurts, and yes, he's a champion in college, but he got hurt. Mm-hmm. And then the first 2 years of his NFL career littered with injuries and missed games, and now I think we're seeing what Tua was projected to be. What do you say about him?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, it's team, right? We're in a team sport, and just like the weapons have been added around Hurts, and I'm sure Carson Wentz is probably rolling his eyes, like, where was AJ and where was Devonta when I was there? Mm-hmm. But I think the same thing in Miami. What incredible weapons around that player, and they're going to be there for a long time. So he can thrive in that offense, and I'm a big fan of Mike McDaniel as a coach. So these are two teams to watch. I mean, I think beyond these two teams, there are other super teams. I'm partial, you know, being a vice president of the Packers for 10 years. I think they're right there. I think we've already seen Aaron Rodgers' ability to overcome not having Davante Adams. And I think the Buffalo Bills are right there as well, and the Chiefs, and maybe the Chargers if Herbert gets healthy. So we got other teams involved here.
You know, you mentioned the Chargers, and I got to say, though, there's one thing about that organization. I've known it forever because I was around that team for 20-plus years in San Diego. There is one thing about the Chargers, and I don't really have an answer, but they can never, and I mean never, stay healthy. Joey Bosa mm-hmm. now going on injured reserve, surgery on his groin. Their offensive tackle. Last week, Tony Boselli told me that he may be the best left tackle in all of football. He's now gone with a bicep injury for the year. What did you think about the decision last week to play Justin Herbert, given the cartilage crack in the ribs and just did not look right? And moreover, what did you think of the decision of leaving him in there to finish a game when you're down by 28 points late in the fourth quarter?
Tough to defend that. I guess I get the idea to start him if he's dealing with the pain well and he can play and he doesn't have restriction and you're better off with him at 70% than your backup at 100%. But the continued playing in the game, I don't know how you defend it. This is your franchise. This is someone you have to protect, and especially being out of the game, it just makes no sense to me. So I don't know if there's anyone out there besides Staley that can defend that.
Well, he did. I mean, Brandon Staley's defense was, and I'm sure you heard it, was, well, he wanted to be out there with his guys. My thought on that is, hey, coach, you got to grow a set, man. You got to start to have a little bit of, like, internal clout where you can actually yeah. say to a player, hey, look, I know you want to be out there with your guys. You think Joey Bosa wants to be out there? You think Slater wants to be out there? They're hurt. You're
yeah,
hurt.
Everyone.
You know, and I saw, like, Andy Reid, I don't know if you saw it last week at halftime, as the Colts and the Chiefs were going to halftime, Patrick Mahomes was kind of barking at Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, and it's Andy Reid who comes in and says, hey, not here, not now. The cameras are rolling. We don't need the controversy. Get your butt in the locker room. Andy Reid has that sort of coaching clout. Brandon Staley apparently does not. I'm with you.
Right.
No defense.
Right.
So, Andrew, let me keep moving on here because we're talking yep. about Jalen Hurts. We're talking about Tua. We're talking about MVP caliber quarterbacks, at least through the first 3 weeks. You wrote a piece about Lamar Jackson for Sports Illustrated. This contract that he wants, I know what the Browns did for Deshaun Watson, and I know how NFL owners have looked at the Browns for giving a guaranteed big money contract to a guy with that sort of baggage. I just don't see the Ravens budging on this, no matter how good of a season Lamar's had through the first three games or how good of a season he may go on to have. I just don't see the Ravens ownership saying, fine, we'll just give you the fully guaranteed contract. What do you say?
Here's the problem is that, you know, this is my expertise, and I watched that Watson contract, and we can all debate whether he should have gotten a contract or not, but the fact is he did. And here's the question. Was that contract going to be a precedent, or was it going to be an outlier?
Right.
And the owners banded together, I think, or at least that would be collusion, but at least obviously they're all saying outlier, 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 aberration, aberration. And it's worked. Because we've had three extensions of top quarterbacks since Derek Carr, Kyler Murray, Russell Wilson. They've all done the traditional structure. 2-3 years guaranteed, and then a bunch of non-guaranteed money at the end. I'm guessing Lamar Jackson has said, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go along with this traditional 2021 structure when we have Watson. And Steve Bisciotti has said, no. The problem for Lamar, no matter how great he plays, is this management weapon called the franchise tag. Like, Lamar Jackson is betting on himself, but he's betting on himself to go up against a brick wall because he's going to get franchise tagged if he doesn't do a deal like the Ravens want him to do. So you're right that the Ravens can say Watson was an outlier. It's just unfortunate. You know, it's just, as someone, I've been on both sides, player and agent, as well as team, and I just feel for the top players like Lamar. Because we had everyone asked me, you know, how are NFL players going to get contracts like baseball and basketball? Well, the answer is using the leverage of Watson and getting after it. But the problem is the NBA and the Major League Baseball don't have the franchise tag. And this is really going to show with Lamar. He is limited for another year. That would be his sixth year. Could be his seventh year before he hits free agency. That's just not fair.
Yeah. Yeah, Andrew Brandt with excellent analysis here this afternoon. Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome. Andrew Brandt, the Sports Illustrated contributor and the former Packers front office executive. Hey, one other guy I want to ask you about because you just mentioned him by name, and that's Derek Carr. Yes, he got a big extension. Yes, he got a bunch of guaranteed money, but the Raiders are 0-3. I feel for Derek Carr. If you went back and you looked at the beginning of his career, you look from the beginning to where he is now, he's had probably six different head coaches, different offensive coordinators, lots of different talent around him. He's had to be the leader of this franchise as they've moved from Oakland to Vegas. He had to deal with the whole disaster last year with the rookie player and the manslaughter situation. I mean, he's been a great organizational leader, but the fact remains he hasn't really been a winner. What do you think the future is of Derek Carr with the Raiders?
Well, he's there. I talked about the contract. It's obviously not fully guaranteed, but it is for the next couple of years. And you know, that's a team in flux. You can look at the bright side. They've been in all the games. They should have won the Arizona game. Maybe there's a bright future this year ahead. But he's going to be someone that's going to be scrutinized because, you know, he's now got the top receiver in the league in Adams, and he's got weapons, and what's going on? You know, he gets the receiver he wants. And by the way, the receiver wanted to play with him
right, instead
of Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see. But, yeah, a lot of scrutiny on Derek Carr these days.
Hey, Andrew, before you go, we were talking about Jalen Hurts at the beginning. We're both fans of stories like that. I noticed that you call yourself on your Twitter handle a triathlete. I'm going to call myself a retired triathlete now. What are you into? You still into it? You still training?
Yeah, but I'm short and fast rather than long. Endurance is not my thing, and I know, you know, and some people think triathletes are only like Ironman. I do a sprint and Olympic distance, so I like to do the short and fast workouts. A lot of interval stuff in my workouts and trying to maintain speed at a longer age. So longevity is the key. I'm trying to not beat myself up too much and keep it going.
Well, I understand, man. I'm the other way. I'm the slow and long distance guy, and got through my first and thus far only Ironman. This is going back several years ago. Yeah, this was in Hawaii, which, you know, listen, I didn't qualify to get in. I was lucky enough to get some strings pulled for me to actually get into that race, and all I cared about was getting to that finish line. And there's like this little thing that's in the back of my brain that's all of a sudden starting to think again about, is it time? Are you finding motivation? Are you almost there? Are you ready to start training again? Are you ready to start another full-time job training for an Ironman? I'm trying to get there, Andrew.
Well, I hope you do. I appreciate the time. For people who want to get my newsletter, it comes out every Sunday free. So just sign up at andrew-brandt.com. And then I do these reels about topics like this on Instagram every day. So Instagram's Andrew Brandt, too, so you can sign up or follow me there.
All right, awesome, man. Way to hit the promotion on the way out. Andrew, great to talk to you, man. Thank you so much. Appreciate you, buddy. All right, there you go. Andrew Brandt. He must have had somewhere to go, too, man. He hung up pretty quickly, right? He's like, yo, I got to go, man. Be telling me about your Ironmans. Talking about these sprint triathlons. You one-upping me with your Ironman, tough guy. It was a long time ago. Hey, listen, how about this? I've been talking all day about this Taylor Hawkins tribute show over at the Forum. How about this one for you? You ready? Dave Chappelle comes out to sing this song right here, Creep, from Radiohead. Dave Chappelle walks on stage with Dave Grohl and the Foo Fighters, and he sings this song? Are you for real? What an event. What an incredible event. Dave Grohl, if you're listening, dude, I'm still hurting really bad from Tuesday night. Seriously. All right, Peter Schwartz is standing by. He's got the... Oh, wait a second. Hold on a second. Rich Ackerman is coming in. That's my man, by the way. Rich Ackerman and I go way back. Here comes Rich Ackerman. He's got the latest sports update. Let's do it. This is the Jim Rome Show. I'm Scott Kaplan. And here you come, clones. You want to get in. Now's your time. 1-800-636-8686. Time for Rich Ackerman.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Scott Kaplan on CBS Sports Radio.
Clones, what is going on? Scott Kaplan in today for Jim Rome. And if I will tell you, I am feeling phenomenal. Thank you, Romy. Thanks for having me in here. Hey, our huge email is coming up a little bit later on. Make sure you're emailing us, rome@haveatake.com. That's rome@haveatake.com. But I'm guessing most of you probably already know that. And hey, small business owners, you may have overpaid on your payroll taxes if you were disrupted or shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic. Call Omega Accounting Solutions at 800-704-2000. That's 800-704-2000. Or visit OmegaTaxCredits.com to learn more. Hey, before we move on, quick second here for a shout out to a whole bunch of friends that are listening back in New Jersey and in Baltimore, and a shout out to Sammy Saragusa. You know that last name, Saragusa. My college teammate, Tony Saragusa, earlier this year, tragically and just from out of nowhere, unfortunately passed. And to see what Goose's family is doing in his memory and in his name is super inspiring to me. And I just know how much those kids love their dad, obviously, and how much the city of Baltimore loved Tony Saragusa. So I want to just direct you guys to a website, gooseflights.org, gooseflights.org. It is a charitable vision that Tony Saragusa had. He wanted to raise money so that children at Make-A-Wish could get transported by private plane to whatever their wishes were. And by the way, Saragusa also was very much into helping NFL alumni travel to get to their doctor's appointments, which oftentimes might not be local. They might be around the country. So we are celebrating the life of Tony Saragusa. We are celebrating the legacy. And we have just officially kicked off Goose Flights. So please visit that website, gooseflights.org, for information. And a special shout out to Sammy Saragusa, her family, and everybody like me who loved Tony Saragusa. Because when I was in college, man, I was a young kid at the University of Pittsburgh, and Tony Saragusa was already like a grown man. And I can remember one time he called me up and he said, Kaplan, I'm coming to pick you up. We're going to the mall. And I said, okay, Goose, what are we doing? He goes, doesn't matter, just get ready. So I was ready, and he picked us up. And we went into like a sporting goods store, you know. And I was looking at these Nike sneakers, you know. And he goes, you like those Nikes? I go, yeah, Goose, they're really cool. And he goes, well, get them. And I'm like, maybe you don't quite get it, but I'm in college and have no money, you know. And he goes, I gotcha. So Saragusa goes and he buys me these sneakers that I wanted, right? He almost sort of pushed on me a little bit. And so later that day, we go back to the dorm. And we're in our dorm room, and Goose is like, well, I got to go, man. I got to leave. And I'm like, okay, see you later, man. and he unplugs my television. Now, at this point in time, this is probably like 1988, 1989, I got like one of those 17-inch Zenith televisions, you know, the big box TVs. They weighed a lot, you know. So Goose unplugs the TV, and he picks it up, and he's leaving. And I go, well, hey, where are you going? And why are you taking my TV? And he's like, didn't I just buy you a pair of sneakers? I'm like, yeah. He goes, well, now the TV's mine. I'm like, but I didn't know that going into the sneaker purchase. So, so sending out love and shout outs to the Siragusa family. And again, one more time, check out that website, gooseflights.org. It's been a great day already here on the Jim Rome Show. If you're just getting with us, Jim Nance earlier today was talking extensively about the NFL schedule and week four that's coming up, gets kicked off tonight between Miami and Cincinnati. Earlier today, we were talking a lot of Major League Baseball with Casey Stern, who was breaking down both the American League side of things and the National League side. And Casey Stern said, look, the Mets or the Braves will represent the National League, because if either of those two teams come up against the Dodgers, Casey says that those two teams will beat the Dodgers. We'll see about that. We'll have to wait and see. He also said on the American League side of things, Houston is the team, Yankees maybe, but he said look out for Toronto. So you can go back and you can find that interview as well. So glad to have those guys. Still to come, Yogi Roth will be here. He's an analyst for the Pac-12 Network, and we're going to talk a bunch of college football. So stay tuned for that. All right, so let me go to some phone calls here. If you want to jump in, 1-800-636-8686, 1-800-636-8686. First call of the day. You ready to do this? All right, here we go. Bring it, man. Bring your A game. Matt in L.A., Scott Kaplan in for Jim Rome. What's up, Matt?
Scotty Caps, you may know me by my alter ego a little better when I call you on the blowtorch that is AM 710. It's your boy, Matt in L.A., a.k.a. Manuel from Gardena. How the hell are you, Scotty Cap?
Manuel in Gardena. Where have you been in my life, my brother?
Oh, man. Hey, had to change jobs, went to the night shift. That's why I was unable to be your plus one at the Mandy's, although I did appreciate the invite, my man. But I turned on the CBS Sports Network, and I see a handsome fellow that's not Jim Rome. And I said, that's my boy, Scotty Caps, who'll be holding it down in L.A. with Sedano. And I said, hey, man, I got to give my man a call, because you know I'm all about the Kaplan, baby.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, first of all, calling me handsome, very, very much appreciated. You know, they've got a great makeup artist here at the Jim Rome facilities. And so she has done a phenomenal job of making me look young and kind of covering up all these wrinkles and these bags underneath my eyes, Manuel. So thank you very much for that. And I was worried about it, too, because I know how HD CBS Sports is. And, dude, this morning I was trimming the hair on my ears because I was like, I don't want anybody to see like random hairs on the side of my ears. So appreciate that compliment, Manuel. What else is going on?
Oh, man, I got to disagree with old Stern. Dodgers are taking it all this year, baby. And I also got some news for you on the NFL front. The Raiders are about to make a run. We've just been stubbing our toes, but they're about to go on a nice little run. And not only is it going to be a Dodger year, but I'm saying it right now, the Raiders will be in the NFL playoffs. Scotty Caps, hey, keep up the good work with the gefilte fish or with the al pastor, my man. You know what's up.
I do know what's up.
Talk to you later.
All right, Manuel in Gardena. Manuel, also going by a.k.a. Matt in L.A. And, yeah, a gefilte fish taco, man. Don't sleep on that. I'll tell you that right now. Do not sleep on a gefilte fish taco. And hard to find. But you can make them at home. Hey, listen, the Raiders, look, 0-3. Here's what I said after week one. They played against the Chargers and lost 24-19. And I called it a good loss. And people have been giving me a hard time about calling a loss a good loss. All I was saying was this. Derek Carr didn't play particularly well in that game. And the Raiders still found themselves with an opportunity to win that game. And oh, by the way, that game, most people thought coming into the season the Chargers are a real Super Bowl contender. So when you lose in week one on the road and your QB doesn't play all that well, I thought that was a pretty solid loss. Unfortunately, what's happened for the Raiders ever since is they lost to the Cardinals when you have a 20-0 lead. When you're up 20-0 on a team in the second half, you don't lose that game in the NFL. And the Raiders found a way to lose it. And then last week, to go on the road at the Titans, do you realize that the Titans scored 24 points in the first half, and that's how many points they had at the end of the game? Meaning, the Raiders had made this furious comeback, found themselves with an opportunity to get a two-point conversion to tie the game, couldn't get it done. They've been in every game. They could have very easily been 3-0 right now. They're 0-3, and here's the problem for the Raiders. Coming up this week against the Broncos, not that the Broncos are very good. They found a way to win, and they're 2-1, but are they impressive to anybody? I don't really think so. The following week at the Chiefs, that's going to be a tough, tough assignment for the Raiders, and especially if they happen to go in 0-4, if they go in at 1-3, you're at the Chiefs. Things get a little easier. They play at home against the Texans. They're on the road at the Saints. They're on the road at the Jaguars. And the Jaguars, 2 weeks ago, when the Jaguars beat the Colts 24-0, I was like, okay, the Colts are terrible. Turns out the following week, the Chiefs go to play the Colts, and the Colts beat the Chiefs. And now I don't think that the Colts are so terrible. I actually think that the Jaguars are pretty good. So, listen, are the Raiders going to get it back together, Manuel? We're going to all find out together. It starts this weekend at home against the Denver Broncos. All right, clones, you want in? You got it. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. If you want to get to me, you can tweet me at Scott Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N, at Scott Kaplan. Happy to read these tweets on the air. You guys have been all over me so far in the first 2 hours, and I'm going to get to some of those tweets. All right, coming up, big weekend of college football. A lot of top 25 matchups. Want to focus in on the biggest games of the weekend, and several of those big games, believe it or not, are in the Pac-12 conference. Coming up, Yogi Roth is an analyst on the Pac-12 conference. He's going to talk college football with us next. Scott Kaplan, in for Jim Rome. And this is the CBS Sports Radio Network.